This is, of course, the traditional lesson that we read on the second Sunday of Easter. And in reading it this time, my eyes were opened because I had never heard this particular phrase before. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In all of my years of reading scripture, in all of my years of being a pastor and priest, this is a line I just skipped right over. And as I read it earlier this week, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. It's not Pentecost. This is not when the wind of God blows through the room and everybody goes, ooh, there's flame. Okay, we'll get to that in 45 days. It's not, what is this? What is this peace? This is a very ancient tradition. When gods would come down and be with people, and I'm talking, when we talk about, Mesopotamian myths and Greek myths and Roman myths, all that. When the god wanted to bless someone, the god would breathe on them, share that essence with them. But here, Jesus breathed on them, not to give them part of him, but to receive the Holy Spirit. So when I was about 20, maybe 21, no, I think I was about 20, my dad arranged for us all to go down to Crystal River, Florida, which, you know where the... There was news last week about a reactor in Florida that the wastewater was coming. That's basically Crystal River. Okay, so you have a point of reference. So he decided that my brother Steve and I, were going to go take scuba lessons. Now, I'm from the mountains and the plains. We don't scuba dive. And some of us don't even like to be in the water. Anyway, so my dad was really keen on this. He's like, oh, we're gonna learn how to scuba dive. And we're gonna go swim with the manatees. Like, they're protected species, you can't swim with them. We go down to Crystal River. And I'm all nervous, because I'm 20, whatever I was. And that's a whole other sermon. So we go down, and my dad is just like, I just chomping at the bit. This is so exciting. We're going to have such a good time. So if any of you have ever taken scuba lessons, you know the first couple of days of your lessons are basically it's all book learning. So you spend a lot of time talking about, blood gases and the equipment and currents and a lot of stuff that just kind of I think I skipped some of the and put in some of the answers. And then you spend some practical time. And so we would go out on this big pontoon boat out on Crystal River, which, by the way, lives up to its name. It is crystal clear water. It's fed by the springs. It's an incredible experience. And we go and we dive for 45 minutes, swim around, little mermaids. And then we come up and we do like a series of dives over the day. And that's where you learn the muscle memory. And one of the things, of course, that you have to learn how to do is to breathe, because you're underwater. And it's the most, I was thinking about, trying to, pretzel your brain so that you can breathe underwater. Learned how to control our breathing, control our buoyancy with the air in our lungs. But basically, we had to learn how to breathe underwater. And of course, the great phrase from the dive master was, well, we all did this in the womb. Like, well, I don't remember that, but I assure you, I can do this. It was a fantastic experience. It was beautiful. The river, I have this mental picture of my father. We're all round Germans, by the way, so we all look like I look. So my dad in his wetsuit, his little black wetsuit, sitting on the bottom of the river cross-legged. I kid you not, sitting on the bottom of the river cross-legged, and these fish coming over his head. It was amazing. So fast forward a couple of years, I graduate from college, but I still am a couple of credits short. So what do I decide to do? I go take scuba lessons again. I went to a scuba shop in Colorado this time. And we didn't do our open water dive at Crystal River. We did it at the Arvada Community Center pool. Did the class, did all the stuff I had done before. Got to the open water test, and I could not control my breathing. I was hyperventilating underneath the water. And so my body would go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. My ears, it was horrible. And finally, the woman who was assisting me on my dive stopped. She like grabbed my, I don't know if she grabbed my legs or my hands, but she grabbed me. And she stood in front of me, and we floated in front of each other, and she would count how long the breath was, how long the exhalation was. And after a couple of minutes, my anxiety and my kind of terror about being under the water, it faded away because the muscle memory came back of that breathing, the in and the out. So we have just spent the last year worrying about our breathing, right? I remember coming out here a year ago and listening on the radio as I was driving around, listening on the radio to the reports of what was coming, the reports coming out of Wuhan and out of Italy. And hearing the stories, and I'm not going to repeat them. We've all read them. We've all heard them. We've all shed tears or had brokenhearted moments about how people suffered, how people struggled, how people succeeded. We've heard the stories. But we've spent a year breathing and being conscious of our breath. Right now in this room, because I'm preaching, I'm the only one without a mask. But we're still conscious after a year, paying attention to what we breathe and what is breathed on us. Isn't that just amazing? I mean, it just makes my brain click in a good way, but it makes my brain click that we now pay attention to where we breathe and what we breathe and how we breathe. We are conscious of this very action, this autonomic response, this autonomic process that we take for granted. Some of us take for granted. Some of us smoked cigarettes for too long and didn't take it for granted, right? We don't now. We really. But we pay attention to our breathing. I get freaked out when I'm on the elevator at home and Reese's mask is underneath his nose. I'm like, pull that up. Not that I'm worried about him breathing on, but I'm worried about what's breathed on him. So I think we've entered into this new mindset of paying attention to our breath. Not just the physical of it, but the wider community impact of it. But listen again to this. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then, of course, it goes on. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Here, Jesus gives to his disciples who are hiding. They are so scared about going out into the world. They are so incredibly fearful of what might happen to them. That they're locked, they've locked themselves in the upper room. And he brings into that locked space the breath of God. What does God breathe? God breathes life. In the beginning, God breathed over the waters. God breathed life into humankind and Adam and Eve. God's breath blows, the Psalms tell us. God's breath, not a breath of destruction, but a breath of life. And so into this very scared, very narrow-minded, very, very anxious place with the disciples who had just seen their friend hung on a cross, who were probably spinning around going, okay. I know he told us all this stuff, but man, I've never seen anybody. Even after the testimony of the women, there still had to be this, wait a minute. I don't know. And so into that place of uncertainty. I don't like to use the word doubt, but that place of uncertainty, that place of unknowing, Jesus breathes on them. And receive the Holy Spirit, God's creative force in the world, the force that created the universe, the very breath of God. And so why would you not want to receive that breath? My friend Rabbi Ann, who always makes fun of me when I try to pronounce Hebrew words because I didn't take Hebrew and I'm no good at foreign languages. And I won't try to recreate her example, but the word for breath has this, in Hebrew, has this very expulsive pronunciation. And so your whole body gets into it. And it's all that back guttural noise, and then out comes this word. Even in Hebrew, the word to breathe, the word breath, has action. It has power. Thomas was not there when Jesus came into the room the first time. And so we get this great narrative about doubt. And poor Thomas, I think he gets a bad rap, because as soon as he sees the wounds, as soon as he's in this place, he says, "My Lord and my God." And then if you know the story, the legendary story of Thomas, he takes off out of Jerusalem. And he goes to India and tells the gospel in India. And the Maritoma Church, which is still in existence, is attributed to the work that Thomas did. And so even though he doubted at that moment, he came to believe. And then he took that word, he took that breath, he took that Holy Spirit and went off to tell the good news to people who had never heard of Jesus. In this year of continuing to pay attention to our breathing, pay attention to where our breath goes, I want us to take a minute. I want us to take time and breathe in God. Breathe in that Holy Spirit. Breathe in that creative, life-giving force. Because as we emerge from this, I can be very honest with you. Whenever I have a cold from now on, I'm going to wear a mask. Like, I'm not going to take my breath for granted again. I'm just not going to do it. But I want to pay attention to the breath that God gives, the breath of life, the breath of creation. I want to take that in, and I want us to take that in. Breathe God's Holy Spirit into our lives and into our world, into our community, into our church, and eventually into the work that we are going to do, which is telling Jesus' good news to the world. Let us take time this week to let God breathe on us. However you do it, if it's in prayer, if it's in scripture, if it's in singing, if it's in talking to God, if it's in talking to friends, take a minute and let that spirit, let that breath blow upon you. And know this, we never have to be cautious about the breath of God. It is the breath of life. My friends, I offer you this meditation this morning in the name of the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, and the one who sanctifies us always. Amen.